Yes, people. Welcome to the Property Strategies Podcast. Yes, people. Welcome to the Property Strategies Podcast. Who have we got in the building today, lads?
It's your boy, Kenny. Who else is in the building?
Got King Axe in the building. It's good.
Oh, I like that. Trying to state your claim today, brother. I hear you.
Brother, we're kings in this thing, get me?
I hear you, man. How you lot been, though? What you lot been up to?
Yeah, man. Oh, man. We should always say every week, probably the same thing, I know. But, man, stuff is busy, man. Stuff is really busy. Up to my eyeballs with sourcing deals, project managing, dealing with tenants. Snagging's real, bro. Snagging's real, man. Snagging's real.
You're closing the tenant.
Yeah, saying I've moved in, but there's this, there's that. Having to call builders back in to sort things. Damn. All that kind of stuff, innit? But, you know, good, man. Good. Obviously, we're close to hopefully some good projects as well. Looking at different strategies as well. I mean, I've been researching new strategies with people out there as well. There's been listeners that, you know, I'm doing some research with as well.
Nice.
Yeah, hopefully I can speak about it in the podcast. But yeah, man, all good. Kenny, how are you, man? I see you doing a couple kitchens and bathrooms and stuff.
Yeah.
No. It isn't even that. One of my boys has got a very good plumbing company. So it was just so fortunate that there was a project that was around the corner from me. And he wanted to show me a few things there because I was interested in the plumbing aspect of things. So, and he's a plumber by trade. So it was like, oh yeah, he can actually show me, okay, this is that. And I can understand why things cost, why they cost now. Mm. So it's just for me to know, okay, plumbers can't try and bump me now. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was very insightful. Like I understand loads now, just in terms of even project management, the best time to fit a bathroom and things like that. Like when you're doing the whole project and stuff like that, it's interesting. It's interesting to say these, but yeah. How about you, Gokes? How's your week?
Yeah, man. It's been a busy few weeks, I would say, man. I
mean, why?
One of the reasons we're all here on Zoom, innit, at the moment.
Mm. It's facts.
Yeah, it's just been busy.
Very busy. Mm.
The project just trying to handle the different projects and stay on top of stuff and deadlines and loan agreements and all of that, man. It's just
that's a good thing. It's even important that you mentioned that because I was going to ask you how you staying focused, like with everything going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them ones.
Like, you have like a routine.
No, I just get on with it. For me,
you just get on with it. That's your
idea. I don't think too deep in when I find myself like thinking, oh damn, the situation's peak. I just ignore that thought. I just get on with it, just throw myself in it and just keep moving, man. Just get on with it, man. So I think that's been my mentality for a minute.
What tips have you both got for staying organized? Because I feel like as a property investor, developer, someone that does management and sourcing, that just got a lot going on, like how do you, you know, stay organized?
You know what?
And what tips do you have?
I'm not sure whether I mentioned this, yeah? Sorry, Gokhe, were you going to say something?
No, you can go.
Yeah, I ain't sure whether I mentioned this already to our patrons, but so that's an invite, guys. Make sure that you join our patrons because we do release these extra episodes for you, so come on.
Yes, sir.
Join up. But yeah, anyway, so there was a time when I wanted to go to the gym every day for the first month of the year. And when I went, the only way that I could go and for it to make sense would be for me to go super early. So cool. So I did it for a whole month and there's one thing that I learned and that is the problems always start after 8 a.m. Like tenants will disturb you. Whatever they're going to moan at you for, it's always going to be after 8 a.m. because they're always going to be in bed or they're going to be getting ready for work or whatever it is. So unless it's super urgent, the problems always start after 8 a.m. So a way that I got organized during that period and what I learned from that was to always kind of start early. And that worked for me because all of my tasks I could get done before the day's even started. And then when the day starts, anything that I've got to deal with, I'm ready to deal with it straight away.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped me.
Yeah.
How early is early, by the way? Just
how early is early? I'm talking like, I don't want to sound crazy, but if you're an early bird, you're an early bird. So for the early birds, like 5 a.m. is calm. 5, 6 a.m. is very calm. If you're pushing 7, it's borderline like, okay, it's, you know, that's when other people start getting ready. But that 5, 6 a.m., that sweet spot there, that's the sweet spot where you're going to have that dead silence. If you need to travel anywhere to the gym, you can do that early. No one's going to disturb you. The roads are empty. All of them things there, like, I always say go around them times. And I know guys that go there as well, because when I was going, I would see the same faces. So everyone else had their own routine as well. Like, you know what I mean? So
were you trying to say I can't be successful unless I wake up at 5?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that helped me in it. So
okay.
What are you saying, though?
Yeah, what about you? Quick tip, man.
Yeah, I guess for me, man, it's just if you can get it done in 5 minutes, just get it done in it. Get done now, because me, there's wheels always spinning and there's always new things that gets added to my plate, like as a day go on, as a week go on. So, like, I've started the habit of just trying to get it done. If I can get it done in 5 minutes, just do it straight away kind of thing. And just trying to prioritize a little bit better as well, because I'm someone that picks up. I try to pick up what everyone's called when I'm in the middle of something, and then I won't give my full attention. So if I can't pick up, I don't pick up, or if it's not important for now, I don't pick up. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing I had to pick up just for my own sanity.
That's some good tips. Yeah. But yeah, man, should we get into this episode? I think obviously we've not had a solely property strat episode for a little bit, so we wanted to give you some market updates. There's some important news with stamp duty, and we're also going to answer some questions as well. That people gave us in the DMs that we've seen quite frequently as well. So we felt this was an opportunity to get them answered and give our opinions on these subjects. So where are we kicking off?
Let's kick off with stamp duty.
Okay, cool. Go for it. Yeah.
First of all, I'm not gonna lie, I was excited when I heard that.
Oh, this, man.
Stamp duty.
What was that? And,
I thought I was very excited initially. Like when I heard
100%.
I thought, what? No second home stamp duty, it's been scrapped. What's happening? All of that stuff. And yeah, man, I think it was a bit of an anticlimax, but I'll let you carry on in there, man.
Yeah, no, facts. Because last time when they scrapped it, they scrapped it up to 500k. So you could buy a house for up to 500k and not have to pay stamp duty, which was crazy. And obviously, this was just after the pandemic and market basically crashed, everything crashed. So this was a way to boost it, and it did. Market went crazy ever since. When they were saying, you know, this is going to be the worst ever, the market did the opposite. So they were hoping this would do that this time. But when they only did it, you know, up to what, like, what was it, up to 250k, no stamp duty, effectively what that means is, you know, where you would normally pay up to like 20k when you're, you know, buying a house that's around that figure, like now it's like you're saving 2k out of that, so you're still saving something. So anticlimax, like Gorky said, man.
Yeah. So in essence, you're saying before it was 125 up to what? 125 is no stamp duty. After that, it's stamp duty. But now they've done it up to 250, which means you don't have to pay stamp duty for that first 250.
And obviously, just to clarify, sorry, that we were expecting them to scrap it up to 500k, like change it from 125 to 500k, but they only changed it, like Goku said, from 125 to 250. So,
yeah.
I don't ever do that, boy. Yeah.
Does this affect? So, obviously, for first time buyers that want to live in the home, they don't pay stamp duty. For those that want to do it for investment purposes as well, does the same thing apply?
Yeah. So the 250 applies for everybody. And then with the first-time buyers, who they love so much, which is good. You know, it's good for people to get on the property ladder and all of that stuff. So with that, I think they've capped it. I guess the second update is up to 425. They don't have to pay stamp duty, again, which is a change from before was 300K. So now it's 425.
Yeah, I think you're probably looking at more negatively from your point of view in terms of sort of a serial.
Yeah, just because we pay stamp duty, it just doesn't make sense. Like, it's 3% for what?
For owning a house. Like, it's crazy. But
but for first time buyers, it sounds quite advantageous, no? I think for someone that's coming into the game that's not for property, for them, especially for people that are sort of outside London or in areas where properties are not as expensive, always going to be beneficial for them, do you know what I'm trying to say? So I still think there are some positives for certain people, depending on what point of view you're coming from.
100%.
Yeah, like definitely. And I was saying to Goku earlier on that we were having a chat about it. And I heard that the 40% of the property market is made up from first-time buyers. And if that's the case, if they're the biggest factor that affect the property market and they're trying to change it, it would make sense why they want to focus on them. So I get it, but it just doesn't benefit, you know,
the whole market people. Kind of thing.
Which is
fair enough, man. So, but I'm just hoping over the next couple of weeks to months, I know the Chancellor of the Exchequer, what's his name?
Kwame?
Yeah, that guy. I know he's got another announcement coming up soon, though, and there's like whispers that there's going to be some benefits to the property market. So just
listen out. I mean, did you hear what he's already said? He mentioned the 45% tax is cut now. So just 40% tax and that's it. So everyone who's in that 150K bracket, yeah, they're smiling. So they're saying that he wants people to be wealthier. So he might say something positive about property.
Hopefully,
you never know. There's a lot of negative with the property, a lot of negative property news. So because
they're just making it difficult.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, there is a lot of negative because even coming on there today, I just want to be doom and gloom, isn't it? Because
obviously we're usually the positive guys as well. But
do you know what? Even me now, yeah. Obviously, we'll get into it a bit later, but interest rates are going up. That's another thing. And because what we've been in property for like 2014, not even 10 years, we've been in property, right? And we've been used to there being low interest rates. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, first, property was capital interest, and I was like 3% back then. I thought that was a bit high. Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Do you know what I'm saying? And over the years, we've been spoiled. We like almost 3.2%, 3.99%. That's like, do you know what I'm saying? That's normal. Yeah, and then now I'm hearing the average is like 4.5. So, which now means from like a investment perspective, everyone is now stress testing their deals like even higher than.
Are you talking about lenders, right? Lenders, right?
No, not even lenders, as in us, as investors.
Yeah.
You know when you got your calculator, you put your numbers in, blah, blah, blah. I normally just work off like 3.5%. So when I go to that mortgage calculator, how much the mortgage is going to be, blah, blah, blah. But now you need to be going up to like 5%, 6%.
And listen, let me just add to that as well, yeah? Shout out Radica, because I saw her Instagram post and she said that something about... that if the numbers don't make sense, then don't go through with it just for the sake of buying a property. If the numbers don't make sense, don't go through with it, because at the end of the day, if you've been in property for a long time, you'll know that sometimes it doesn't go the way you plan it to go. And at times you make a loss before you make, you know, money. And that's when you don't even and that's when you want to make money straight away. And then you made a loss for like the first 6 months to a year. Like most people would just leave. Do you know what I'm saying? So you have to understand that sometimes if the numbers aren't going to make sense for the sake of buying property, don't just do it. You know what I mean? Like actually make sure that the numbers make sense, especially in a time like this.
I've even heard even more so for developers, they're stress testing their deals even more than even for more residential buyers and investors. It's definitely a crazy time because it's the first time, like you said, we're dealing with navigating through, you know, recession as investors.
Yeah.
So you have to be a lot more conservative with your numbers. Way more long-term about your investment. And yeah, short-term wise, you have to just make the call whether it makes sense to go ahead with certain projects, knowing that, you know, in a year or in a 6 month time that property prices may fall. So yeah, it's an interesting time. But what I would say, as always, as always, is that speaking to experienced investors, experienced developers, they're still going ahead with investments. Mm. I think they're just changing the strategies. And I think in this call, obviously, we'll talk about some of the different strategies maybe you can be using, maybe so the way sometimes you've got to be analysing the numbers in order to still win, but people still investing. Now, that's one thing I would say. I would say as well that usually the experienced people find a way to keep investing, and the inexperienced usually get scared off by the next headline that they hear. You know what I'm saying? As soon as they hear something about interest rates, they back off. The ones that have property start wanting to sell. They're very impulsive. So this is something I'm seeing as a source, and this is something I've seen as a developer as well, talking to other developers as well, that you have to be careful about just hearing the news and just reacting, because usually they're counting on that in order to kind of
to keep them. And just to add to that as well, did you hear about the whole mortgages being pulled? Some of them are being pulled and things like that. So
yeah,
it just goes to show that, the market, they're moving a bit crazy. Mm. They're moving it crazy, and you have to kind of assess how things are going at the time as well. Because obviously people might just panic and they think, okay, what do I do? And if that is you, it's okay to sit on the fence for a while, you know what I mean? And just reassess what you want to do till you're comfortable. But also, these things were happening before, and they've always been happening.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So you just need to assess as and when it's happening, because every single day is like a new day that's never happened before. So no one can predict it. So, man.
Just to go back on your point, you're saying stuff that you're saying, basically, in essence, you're saying there might be opportunities from a source perspective. Whereby some people that own houses might be panicking, thinking, no one's going to be able to buy this house. Let me quickly sell now before interest rates go up, whereby people might not want to buy as much. So, which means there might be some opportunities for some investors to kind of get some good deals potentially.
100%. There's people that want to sell their houses. There's landowners that want to sell their land. A lot of commercial property is up for sale as well. That can be converted using PD, so permit development as well. So a lot of opportunity to still get a lot of property deals done. The main idea is that you just have to just be very careful with the numbers. So you can't just dive in and just start offering crazy amounts of property just on offer. You know, you do need to do your due diligence. You do got to look at the market and where it's going, and use some conservative numbers to make reasonable offers on properties, and even with the build cost for certain developments as well, like overestimate what you're going to be doing in terms of what the build might cost. Just so that when it comes time to selling or revaluing those properties at the end of the development, once you do the work, that you're not, your numbers are not off, what I'm saying? Because if not, that could break the deal. So you can end up investing money still where you're actually losing money. And it's one thing to buy a house and it go down slightly go down in value, pretty much in a couple of years it can offset. But if it's kind of when you're doing developments, if it goes down too much, you're actually going into some of the money that you borrowed, in order to actually do the project, which means how you're going to pay back your investors, how you're going to pay back any development finance you've got. So I think with that stuff as well, that's why I'm saying that you have to be very, very careful with your numbers. And this is the best time to make deals happen, but it's not time to force deals, basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, and also, it's like when things like this happen, it kind of moves in both ways, because you've got the side that are kind of like scared and aren't sure what to do, but then you've got the side that are also were in the middle of deals that now want to push it through quickly. Or there are people that were now thinking about it and now want to quickly sell. You know what I'm saying? So there are actually always two sides. So you're always going to either benefit from it or not. So it's just going to be based on the new way that you kind of look at it as an investor. And obviously, like Akin was saying, if I'm now looking in the market to buy, I'm obviously going to do my numbers a bit more, and I'm going to factor in things that could go wrong. So that's also part of the cost. So I'm also, prepared that maybe interest rates might be higher. So I'm going to factor that into the cost to now see if it's still a sort of worthwhile deal. So for some people, nothing's really changed. What I'm saying? They've just changed up the way that they're approaching things.
That's a good point, man. And I think another tip as well, during a period like this, I think it's very important for everyone who has, if you have a mortgage, go back and look at your product. You might be closing to the end of your current deal. the end of your current fixed or whatever. You might be unavailable, and you don't even know, but I'm sure you know, because the monthly payment would have skyrocketed. But right now, just take time, look back, look at your portfolio, look at the ones, the property you have. And if, for example, you're close to the end of your current fix, shop around, look around and see if you can still get a good deal or a good reasonably low interest rate before everything does what it's been predicted to do, and see if you can kind of get another product. Like, yes, you might have to pay an early redemption fee, but do the numbers, innit? If it adds up, if it makes sense in the long term, then definitely start looking at that. So definitely review.
That's a good shout. I love it. That's a very good shout. I think this is the first time as well, just before we go into the Q&A question, this is the first time I've started to see, yeah, I've seen investors and people trying to buy their homes panic from the news and what's happening. But actually, this is the first time I've seen lenders as well, like, kind of move a bit, you know what I mean, mad as well. Like you said, you mentioned pulling some mortgages from certain people. And that's, if you make, it actually makes sense. Like, for example, a lot of lenders that deal with adverse credit, for example, people with adverse credit, for example, they may not trust them with, you know, some of the products they have, you know, or have had or put them on recently. So for them, you know, it's risky.
They've
for them
to make adjustments.
Yeah, they've got to make adjustments. It's risky for them to borrow that one to someone when there's going to be possibly a downturn in the market, and with all the other news happening as well in regards to people losing their jobs, inflation, etc. So it's a lot of people still scared. A lot of people that are new to this as well, like us, like new to this kind of like way of like having to maneuver or assess things. So it's really interesting, to be honest, man. It's really interesting. But
yeah, it is.
I wanted to get into some of the Q&A questions though.
Just
we had some fire round. We're gonna do a fire round Q&A session. We had some questions in the DMs that people have been asking us regularly. So we thought, let's just answer it on the pod. So let me start with the first one. Someone was asking about the EPC rating. They said that they can see that they've heard news about in 2025, there's going to be new rules put in place around EPC ratings being at least at a level C before the property is allowed to be rented out. The person basically asking, like, what can they do now in order to make sure that they can have their property at a rentable condition by the time it gets to like 2025. So what can they do to their house basically to get ready for that new rule? What would you say?
Yeah, so for me, I think one thing to kind of start looking at is, for example, first of all, get somebody in who can kind of survey your property. Well, first of all, obviously have an EPC done. When you have an EPC done, normally it will tell you how you can improve your rating. So on the actual report, it will tell you, okay, you need to get more insulation here, or you need to get this there, you need to get this there. So look at that. And then based on the recommendation that the EPC report gives you, then you can get somebody in to kind of start doing the work, for example, because then you can start getting quotes for it, how much it's going to cost to get a new insulation in the loft, or how much it's going to cost to get the new double glazing or triple glazing or whatever it is. Start doing the numbers. And if you know that this is the stuff you're going to have to do, you're not looking to sell the house anytime soon, you've got this property now, just spread out all the works over the next 3 to 3 years or whatnot. That way you don't seem like, you know, you're forking up 20 grand to fix it up, to get it to that standard. That's number one. Number two, for people who haven't bought yet or in the process of buying, if you find a house that's, say, maybe like a D or an E or something like that, it's probably advised that when you are negotiating, just let them know that, look, XYZ, I need to spend XYZ on it to get it to C, as you know, because this is a rental property, XYZ, XYZ. So again, that's another way to kind of try and get discounts as well.
And you know what, for investors as well that are maybe doing projects, and it's like projects where the house is stripped back bare, it's like always important to factor into your cost, like Goke was saying, double glazing, maybe a new boiler, like an up-to-date boiler that's maybe eco-friendly, and that can really bring these, you know, EPC ratings to a good level. So it's like things like that always factor in as well.
Basically, it's not time to be cheap, basically.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you know, solar panels as well. I see people doing that now. Bare. I see people doing it bare. So you know, that could be a thing of the future. You never know.
Yeah, that's some good tips. Some good tips. Second question was around fixed rate mortgages. Someone said basically, hold on, give me 1 second. How long should I fix my mortgage for? 2 years or versus 5 years? So that was a question someone had as well. Anyone recommendations?
Yeah.
And the thesis as well, like reason why you're thinking that.
Yeah. I think first of all, if I was given a generic question answer, it would be like, it depends on your scenario, right? But but I guess I'll just give my opinion anyway and what I will be doing or whatnot. But right now, I think I've actually never gotten a 5-year fix ever in my life. And that's just always because I'm always paranoid. I don't know what the next year is going to hold. Am I going to need money? Am I going to need to remortgage something? Am I going to need to sell? So that's why I always kind of do 2-year fixes. And also, even with the mortgage rates, you know, meant to be increased and stuff like that, we don't know. The predictions are kind of going for the next 2 years. Oh, this is what's going to happen over the next 2 years or the next year. No one's really saying what's going to happen over the next 5 years because nobody really knows. And it's too far ahead and it's too early to kind of predict that. So that's why I would probably recommend, me personally, I will still fix on a 2-year. And also when it comes to like 2 years and 5 year, normally the reason 5 years, people normally jump to 5 years is because, for example, if there was two products here, 2 year, the interest rate might be like 3.8%. 5 year, it might be like 2.5. Obviously, you're thinking, right, 2.5 and 3.8, I'd rather go for the 2.5. But now, it's not even that at the moment. Like, the difference between 5-year and 3-year, 2-year, it's not that much. Do you know what I mean? So there's not really that much of an incentive to go for 5 years because the interest rates are high period, like 5 or 2 years, if that makes sense. So that's why I would probably opt to go for a 2-year.
I think you made some good points, man. I think the general consensus is that, I think, again, based on all the scare tactics and everyone thinking, oh my God, interest rates are going so high, let me just fix it to 5 years. Hopefully I'll be good. I'm in a good position. I think, like you said, like rightly so, like in 2 years, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, the risk is basically that in 2 years, actually the interest rates come all the way down again. And actually by you having a long-term fixed rate mortgage of 5 years, you're actually going to be now paying off more, basically, or pay more interest in the long run. So there's not really an answer yes or no, right? I guess it's sort of like what you prefer, but I'm on your side in terms of just like, I'd rather just fix it for 2 years, get comfortable with those payments, and then knowing that hopefully they will come back to normal, like, or come down from what they are now, and I can jump on that one. But I can understand why people are doing it, the 5-year ones as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess it just depends on your risk appetite. I'm shook, I'm happy, let me know what I'm paying for the next 5 years. If you're somebody that, let me take the risk a little bit because, I don't know, I might want to remortgage, I might want to take some money out, I'm hoping the interest rate will be a bit lower in the next couple of years, then go for 2 years, man.
Yeah, but you know what, just to add to that, because obviously, I'm going to be like Goke and say it really does depend because, we could give completely different answers based on, what you have and, what you can do right now. So, but like, just to add though, if you're the type of person like who is an investor who's hands off, let's say that you've got a job that keeps you busy and you're an investor, you want to do property, but it's just that you don't want to move as quickly. You don't want to have to think about things as long. You want to come back to it after like 3 years and it's still the same, no problems, no drama. Then having a 5-year fix could be that for you. You know what I'm saying? So it could be in a sense of, having investors that don't really want to be as active, but still want to be in the market. You know what I'm saying? So if you think about it in that sense, like sometimes the ones that are 5-year fixed, it just leaves no headache for 5 years. Everything should be as is. Especially if like the mortgage products don't really differ now. Like Goku mentioned earlier that between the 5-year and 2-year, the interest rates aren't
that's a good
aren't as big as they were. So it really does depend on if you just want to be as active in the market or not.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I think that's a very good shout and some good tips there as well. Just for the last 5 minutes, if we can just everyone just give maybe just give a strategy that might be good, you know, currently with all the scare, everything that's happening in the world right now, the economy, like, what strategies can you recommend? It doesn't need to be long, literally, name the strategy and maybe go into it a little bit. But what do you think in this current market with projections of property prices going down, recession, etc., what are some good strategies to do right now, like quick fire?
I guess one that will still banging or still make sense is rent to rent, because at the end of the day, you don't need to worry about interest rate, you're not getting a mortgage, you don't need to worry about if it's going up or down, your monthly payment's going to be fixed unless your landlord decides to increase the payment after your contract or whatnot, which kind of leads to like lease options and stuff like that as well, because again, you're not buying the property yet, you're buying it at an end date, and even when you do buy it at the end date, you don't have to buy it. There's no gun to your head. You have the option to buy it, but you don't have to buy it. So just a couple of things like that probably still work for people. So
and just to add as well, I would have said rent to rent too, man, because it just makes sense in a time like this, and even in the time, you know, when it wasn't like this, it still made sense just in terms of cash flow. Because, you know, we even made a whole course on it because so many people were, you know, interested. And this is a serious strategy that per property you can make £500 from easy. You know what I'm saying? Still. So that's why it's important to make sure that you grab that course and, you know, really try and change something with that. But if you're trying to do buy-to-let now, I would just say, factoring costs elsewhere. So if you know that, if you know that things might be a bit tough, maybe increase the rent just a bit, because remember that you don't want to be changing the rent, but you can start off with a specific rent. And obviously if it's, you know, within reason, then it should be calm. So maybe factor in different things. I know you want to laugh. But these are facts. Landlords, you know, you need to factor in things that are going to, because the costs are, costs are going up. And it is all, I don't know, like, let's say that they're not paying the bills. Mm. Your bills are going up. So why shouldn't theirs? You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
I know it sounds cheeky, but I'm just being honest. Factor in things a bit more. Like, we've already mentioned stuff like, changing boilers, getting things that are going to bring down the bills and just things like that. Just factoring more costs whenever you're doing stuff.
Yeah. And for me, I'm definitely saying commercial property, getting into commercial to resis. Obviously, I don't know, in our world, very, very popular. This strategy is becoming more and more popular, what I would say. Getting in there, being able to get commercial properties for below market value or for low amounts, getting in there and being able to convert them to residential, either flats or houses, using PD, using planning.
Force uplift, basically.
So the whole premise of the strategy is that you're going to find undervalued property. Obviously, you can buy properties below market value, which is normal houses, but now you're really getting below market properties of commercial, because it's a lot harder to value. And then you're doing the work to them based on the numbers. You're able to go and get finance for them as well. Pretty good finance. There's a lot of finance options as well. And then you're able to force the value and really get either a property which is going to give you a lot of rental income, or you're able to flip and sell it. And obviously from the value forced onto the property, you're able to sell it for really good profit. So there are a lot of people using this to do a lot of good projects. I've seen a lot.
Yeah, man, it's just a way that's always worked, man. Whenever you're adding value to anything, it's just a way that's always worked, man. Finding like the worst house on the best street, as they say, and just forcing that value up, man.
100%. But what I would say as well, is I would say that I think that the property world is moving in a sense where the normal buy-to-let model, you know, that's not always, although it works still, it changes, the strategies changes, and some of these more sophisticated changes become more normal, like they become more like commercialized and more normal, so more people are doing it. So everyone can kind of get into it. It's not something that's just specialist developers.
I love that.
Anyone can get into it. So so yeah, that's what I would say, man. And just last question quickly, man, before we run out of time. Is it a good time to buy, everyone? Is it a good time to buy a quick one? Yes or no? Just say yes or
yes, no. I'm going
to
say yes. Buy it, just be careful.
Yeah. Is it a good time to buy, Kenny?
Yeah, man. I think it's always been a good time to buy.
Just listen to our advice in this episode.
I'll say it's a good, it's a good time as well. It's a good, but yeah, guys. But,
I mean, that's it.
That's it, man. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, though. These are just a quick fire Q&A, little market update as well. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Yeah, any questions, hit us in the DM. But yeah, stay blessed, stay invested.
Peace.
I'm not going on the economy.
Yeah, right.
Stones is my son.
I've been the GOAT for so long, I guess it's not exciting when I win. Boo-hoo, someone grab the violins. Every time I try a ting, pop bins like Hailey when he sings. So of course they don't like me, I'm the king. Tell me why would I reply to him? I leave him hanging like Kyrie on the rim. Where do I begin? I wear the 5990 in the gym. I got a thing for shiny little things. What can I say? I'm like a young black Biden with a trim.